Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, let's review a little bit of economic data that we got today dealing with initial jobless claims. The number came in at 2.44 million, pretty much as expected, but it is a little bit lower than last week and actually the last few data points that we have gotten in terms of jobless claims. Fact of the matter is there's still a lot of people unemployed in the U.S. Same goes with Canada up here. And the economies are starting to open up, though. So as we start with this process, we have talked about it before. This is when some of the data is actually going to matter. Arguably, though, even this early on, it will take a couple weeks, a couple months to get a true understanding of how quickly people are going back to stores or opening their pocketbooks and starting to spend money. What are you going to be paying the most attention to as this restart picks up some steam, hopefully?
Well, you're going to want to see a variety of things, Corey. I mean, it's a little silly to expect, which is why compared to President Trump and a couple of his major mouthpieces like Larry Kudlow and Kevin Hassett the other day when he came out, making everybody think that we're going to go rip-roaring back to all-time highs for stocks and to the kind of world-beating economy that we had in January, most other people are saying not so fast, because look, the Americans who are very gullible and very impressionable and can panic easily have been told to do all of those things. Be gullible, panic easily, and shut down your life, shut down your economy, hide within your home underneath your stores of toilet paper and food. And you're not going to break that immediately. You're not going to have people go out and book cruises and book airline trips, certainly not discretionary and vacation-related ones, go to restaurants, et cetera. So everybody's going to be watching the various signs for the trajectory of the economy opening up. The stock market in part this week rallied because you had good news from the major retailers like Walmart and Lowe's and a couple other ones. But that's as a lot of the old stodgy retailers are going bankrupt. It's as some of the luxury retailers are going bankrupt. It's as small businesses are going bankrupt. So, everybody's going to be watching, including me, to see just how much frightened and shell-shocked financially and otherwise Americans are going to peek out from their homes and go out and do things and spend money. Down here, of course, you just had your Memorial Day weekend. We've got Memorial Day weekend imminent here. My area is not going to be the best to judge things on because I live in northern Florida. It's a big destination for vacationers, and a lot of people inland will come out to the beaches this weekend. So I'm sure around here it's going to look great, or at least a whole hell of a lot better than it has for a few months. But the question is, will it look so good in the rest of the country? And that remains to be seen.
Now, Chris, what about the job market, too? How important is it to see at least some people getting their jobs back, going back to work and starting to make some money?
Well, look, even in my area, and I just got done saying that this is certainly going to be healthier and is healthier than most places or the average place in America. I've got friends that I talk with who are in food service, who own restaurants, who one of them I spoke with just yesterday works for one of the bigger and more affluent vacation places and bed and breakfast joints around here. And they're not getting back to health right away. They've had a lot of cancellations that aren't even getting replaced for Memorial Day coming up. So, here again, people are going to get their jobs back in some places. You've got some factories opening up. Even the governor of Michigan is allowing some of the auto manufacturers to open up. But even using that, Corey, as an example, yeah, you can start making more cars. The manufacturers are already choking on cars that they can't sell. Hertz is going bankrupt, and they canceled some orders for cars. They're not the only one that's going to be canceling orders. So, yeah, you can get people even in some of those heavy industries back to work, but if the economy is still in the toilet and people have really pulled their horns in, even if you get some of those jobs back right now, they may be gone again later, let alone the jobs that are permanently gone. in, you know, the food service industries, restaurants, et cetera. So I've maintained all along, I still steadfastly believe that the greater expectations, as have been reflected in the stock market recently, of a more robust recovery are fantasy.
We have talked about that, and hey, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to come back as easily as the markets have showed us or told us that it will. But what about outside of the U.S. too? The U.S. isn't the only country that is going through this kind of restart plan. Canada is restarting phase two, at least in Vancouver, BC in general. We also have some other countries in Europe that are trying to get people back to work, trying to get the economy going again. Do these other countries matter, or is this just a U.S. focused, especially when it comes to U.S. markets?
Well, look, everybody's going through the same thing to one extent or another, for the most part, Corey. I don't, the pattern is the same. The, you know, extremes or lack thereof may be different from one place to the next. I see in a story this morning that a buddy of mine who's who grew up in Athens and now lives in this country, has for a long time, he's a business owner up north. I used to be a regular at his sports bar and restaurant, but he put out this morning, just so I knew about it, that Greece was hoping to open back up by the middle of June for the summer tourist season. I mean, God bless him. I hope it works out. Italy is trying to do the same thing, besides get other parts of their economy together. But as I just got done writing, you know, Europe's got other problems that are even beyond the economic and financial hits that everybody has been taking to one extent or another from this virus. So we'll see. Parts of South America are still a basket case and shut down. Mexico is trying to limp back to health with its mining sector, especially, let alone everything else. So this is going to be a very slow work in progress that I think is going to disappoint a lot more people than it's going to please.
All right. Let's also talk about something that just got passed through the Senate that deals with China when it comes to investments mostly, and even the ability of Chinese companies to list in the U.S. Give us a little update of the progress that's being made here that could very much be the U.S. again going after China, especially on an investment front for companies.
Well, I'm going to speak in general terms because there's too many moving parts to this to talk about it without doing an entire segment and then some, Corey, because there's different people and different agencies that will control different aspects of this. That said, one of the issues, and again speaking generally, that has come back up in recent days is the ability of Chinese companies that do not follow U.S. reporting requirements, and that's being kind. It's bad enough, the smoke and mirrors that U.S. companies under U.S. regulations use these days to massage their earnings and whatnot every which way but from Sunday. But China flat out lies. They withhold material information. And a lot of companies that are based in China have been allowed to list in the U.S. A lot of pension funds, federal and private alike, that invest in various managed accounts and passive accounts, automatically invest, among other places, in the MSCI index, which these days includes a pretty good slug of Chinese companies. So the president has threatened for a while, took it off the table. Now it's back on the table as everything is deteriorating anew between the U.S. and China, that and a variety of things. And again, these aren't all tied together. There's different moving parts here. But everything from forbidding federal pension funds from investing in Chinese companies to corporate and other pension funds, forbidding them from investing in Chinese companies, to not allowing new Chinese companies to raise money or list in U.S. markets, and even delisting some companies that by a certain point don't meet U.S. requirements. So this is just one of the financial parts of the multifaceted new Cold War between the U.S. and China that's flared up again and is going to be a bigger story going forward, and one of many things that the bulls that have chased stocks up in this bear market rally have utterly ignored.
When is this going to start mattering, though, Chris? You and I have talked about it ongoing throughout when COVID has taken over the headlines, is that stuff with China has deteriorated, and that mattered for over a year, all last year and even before that. Now everyone seems to be ignoring it.
Well, it mattered at times for the last 2 years. when stocks at times would sell off because of what was going on where China was concerned. The end of 2018 was very acute. And then the end of last year was acute in the opposite direction, where the rally accelerated on this cockamamie phase one deal that the U.S. and China entered, with which both sides, as things turned out and have been revealed since then, and as I said way back at the time, both sides were disingenuous in their claims. And especially in China's case, as it's come out, in knowing, because they already had the virus breakout that they weren't telling people about, that they were never going to be in a place to keep the promises that they made.
Well, fair enough. But again, at least when COVID's been around, then this has been ignored. But do you see any of these moves between the U.S. and China starting to build into these other countries as well? As one thing we were talking about as this battle is going on was the potential divide that we could see in the world. Right now, the world's dealing with other things, like this whole economic devastation from COVID-19. But do you see sides maybe starting to have to be taken here?
Well, that's a broad question. I mean, we could talk for an hour on different elements just of that question, Corey. Generally speaking, and I said this in the piece I have in my current issue that I also put on the front page of my website, where Europe is concerned, the situation is, generally speaking, again, that more countries than not are not looking to work with other countries, but to batten down the hatches themselves, become more insular, respond to public and political pressure, and look to their own countries first. The big shocker of late in that regard being President Macron of France, who was the biggest cheerleader for finishing the unification of Europe, and now has abruptly gone in the other direction, with some of what he said about a week and a half ago to the French people as far as his new priorities. So across the board, there are pressures that I've said this from the beginning, where the Wuhan virus is concerned, that a lot of the fallout of this and supply chains and sovereignty and all these different things, this is all in the end accelerating the move away from globalization that was already underway. So that's one big answer, one big theme I can give you. But again, there's a lot of moving parts underneath that.
All right. Well, Chris, we'll wrap it up, but we will try to keep everyone as updated as we can on the back and forth between the U.S. and China. But the one major takeaway is that things are not going smoothly between them, and the U.S. is stepping up a little bit of what they are able to do on an investment front. Chris, thanks for your time this morning. I hope you have a great rest of your week.